Hold on, we're not recording yet.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yet. There you go. Record now. We're still now.
Now go. Go.
Go.
It's the Molies. We're talking about movies, bad opinions galore. Come listen to see what we have in store.
Oh, that's for a good
you.
One.
For you.
It's the Molies, folks.
You gotta be doing the Trump dance. It was so good.
Yeah, you're doing the double
jack off.
double dick jerk. Hell yeah. Hi everybody. It's Movie the Podcast. It's the Molies. It's our year-end show in review. Oof, that was a weird sentence. Where we look
I wish
back.
We could just do Molies episodes every week.
They
it's
are
always the most fun. It's always the most fun episode.
It is a yeah. lot of fun. And it's always like every time we do these, I'm always like, we watched that movie this year. Like,
oh yeah, that happened to me several times.
I always forget, like, I don't know, like I'm sure you guys can relate, but like once we get finished, like I forget everything. Like it's all just gone.
Yeah. Like legit, I almost suggested we review a movie that we'd already done.
Oh, I mean,
I've not on that. Purpose.
I've done that several times on the show. Yeah. Really. I mean, but in our defense, we have a huge back catalog. You know what I mean?
Like, that's crazy. I've never stuck to anything this long in my life.
We've what number are we up to about, you think, Alec? Probably like we're over.
Hang on, I'll tell you. And this is plus or minus because I can't look back to the old shows anymore. This is approximately episode 443.
Good
Jesus
night.
Christ.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, but at least we're not at least it's not costing us as much money anymore because we don't eat pizza every time.
Yeah.
That is true. But like, it's less delicious.
Can you think about like total film hours we've watched, not just as not just as individual or not just as a podcast, but just all of us bringing 2 to 3 films a week.
I've said that. Yeah, I've said that. All like I was talking to somebody the other day, and they're like, "Well, on average, how many movies you watch a week?" And I'm like, "I don't know, like 3."
Yeah,
like usually.
You figure, let's say just in round numbers, we've all watched 500 movies together in this span of time. If we average each of us watching 2 movies over the same time, that's like 4,000 movies plus the 500.
Yeah, it's fucking insane.
Yeah, I watched 2 movies this week, so it's like, that's about right.
And you don't get to talk about them this week.
Yeah. No, I don't want them. They were not good.
You got to put them in your pocket.
Oh,
all right. Well, it is that time. We get to go through, and I lose my Google Doc. But we get to go through what we loved, what we hated on the show and outside the show. So I'm going to defer to Alec. Which one should we start off with first?
Best movie of the podcast.
How are we doing the
we always do this
every year
because we've done it several. We've done the snake thing, we've done the one person just rips, and then like so it has changed my defense.
We don't do the snake thing anymore. We do the one person rips, and if you also have that movie somewhere on your list, you jump in with it and
pile on.
Yeah,
Alec, you said you want to start with the top of the show, movie, the podcast movies. Okay.
Yes. And we can throw out like honorable mentions first before the top three.
Sure. Sure. You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. My top three movie, the podcast movies.
Number three
is, I'm just realizing they're all movies I picked. I like my own movies. God damn.
Nice.
Number three is Max and Mary. Animation.
Yep. Yeah. That is fable. That this is gonna come as a shock to some of you. That is my number one.
Also my number one.
Yeah, I love that movie, Alec. Same. I thought that movie, like I can't wait to watch the new one that guy just put out, that Memoirs of a Snail. But like that movie was so special, like so much heart and like such a quirky movie, but like at the end of the day, like so heartfelt and interesting. Like that was my top movie of the year from the show. I loved it.
I haven't stopped thinking about it really. I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman is so good in that fucking movie, in that role.
Yeah. I'm not a communist.
But I was so a member of the United States Communist Party, which
What did he like to eat? Chocolate hot dogs?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that movie, I like, there's a couple movies we're going to talk about tonight, but like that is one of the movies where it's like, I'm so glad, Alec, you did pick this one. I'm so glad you picked this because I would have never watched this movie.
Never in a million years.
Even though we've all passed it on Netflix 10 bazillion times.
Yeah, but I mean, what a fucking treat. Like, but Alec, yeah. I'm sorry, you say a few words.
No, like, I mean, I had seen it before and I remember enjoying it, but I don't remember it being as good as it actually ended up being. Like, it's fantastic. It's phenomenal. The claymation itself, the acting, the like everything. It's just so good. The music.
Did you say claymation? Like, yeah. Did you shorten claymation? I love that. Okay.
I stole it from Parks and Rec when Ben goes into the claymation thing. He's like, "Here, check out my claymation," and he thinks it's like 10 minutes of.
Oh, and it's like the 2 seconds. It's like,
that's it.
He's like, "Wait a minute, that can't be right." But yeah, I love that. I love that movie a lot. It's probably not a movie I need to revisit very often, but it's definitely like a masterpiece.
Yeah, I totally.
So where
agree.
Did that? So that was my number two for this year. So where it was?
Wow, it was on everyone's.
It was
list.
On everyone's list.
Yeah,
that was my three, and everybody else's one.
Wow.
My number two of the year was Serenity.
Hey.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, like that. I just love that movie.
And it's a fun movie.
Watching it again now, I'm like, that's a movie I need to revisit more often because it's just
a good space. It's a lot of fun. Cowboy.
Really
movie.
Fun and get a lot of heart to it. And
are you going to go back and watch Firefly?
Probably not.
Yeah, me neither. It's funny. I really like that movie, but I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like watching that show.
I don't need like 13 other hours of it.
No.
Yeah.
It gave you what you needed.
Yeah. And my number one is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Banger.
Oh, wow. Great choice. Yeah.
This might have been the best year. Like, I also like The Fighter, Pig, Hell or High Water. Children of Men, like,
yeah, this was our best movie year. It was harder to do the tops than the bottoms this year. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah, usually that's definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh Brother, like I don't think we need to say more about that. It's my favorite Coen Brothers movie. It's just a fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's got heart. It's like not just funny. It's like hilarious. Like it's. Not very Coen-y with how funny it is, but it just works.
No, I mean, they're like Big Lebowski is very funny.
Is it George Clooney's best role? We probably said this before, but I'm just
curious. I don't know if it's best. Like, he's really good in like Up in the Air and other movies, but like, it's my favorite.
Inside Man's really good. He's really good in that.
He's actually doing like stuff with this one. He's not just like a businessman or something giving a good, solid performance. He's actually being like offbeat and wild.
He's great in speaking of Coen's movies, he's great in Burn After Reading.
Love
in that.
Sean.
I tried, so caveat to my list, if they were 2024 movies that we watched on the show, I tried to separate the list so I wouldn't have repeats. And I omitted like Jackie Brown and Children of Men because it's like I've glazed those movies enough, so I wanted to keep it kind of a little bit fresh. My number three was the Kurt Russell vehicle Soldier.
Yeah, that movie. Wow. That movie was a blast. That movie got an honorable mention for me.
Yeah,
not the
best structural movie we watched. You know, not the best screenplay, not the best anything, but it kicks a pile of ass. It is a janky action movie of the type that we love. So that was my number three. My number two was
in the Blade Runner universe, correct? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. My number two was Junkhead. Junkhead.
Another honorable mention for me.
Was a gorgeous movie. It did a ton without having to. Well, I mean, the amount of work that was in it, but without having dialogue for the most part. Or intelligible dialogue, and like just a fucking banger, just a testament to like how much one person can do. I think it's an achievement. Like, I loved it. And again, my number one was Mary and Max, so we already talked about that. Gobbles.
All right. So,
oh, goddamn. All
right. So, yeah, like, lots of honorable mentions. Really great year. Like, fucking Soldier was great. Thief is great. Like, Jackie Brown, right? Always loved that.
Yeah.
But Predator 2, shout out Predator 2. Big ups, Predator 2. My number three was Hell or High Water. Just Hell a yeah. modern Western that I just
Hell absolutely High Water, yeah.
fucking adore. Like, that movie.
Chris Pine has never been as good and never will be as good again. That's like such a singular moment.
He is so subdued and so like, and just having him across from Jake Wazurski or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
His name escapes
Ben Foster.
Me. Yeah. Ben Foster. And Ben Foster is just such an underappreciated. He's great in a Western.
Oh, he's
so cool. Menacing in 310 to Yuma. Like, yeah. He's so fucking, he's the best part of that movie.
Movie I got to revisit. I remember not caring for that movie that much.
That's a, we got Viggo Mortensen.
No, it's Christian Bale, is it not?
Christian Bale, yeah.
Yeah.
And Gladiator.
Russell Crowe.
Oh, I don't know what I'm thinking of then.
But yeah, if I didn't say, I think I said Thief in my honorable mentions, but Thief, honorable mention. My second best was Mary Max. What just
an absolute, yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to keep glazing it. A gem that I am so thankful we got to watch on the show, because I would have never in a million years watched it on my own. And it's just such a heartfelt, like, just lovely story. And then my number one, you know, it was Children of Men, and a movie I liked.
My number two was Children of Men.
Right? A movie I remembered kind of being like, all right. And then just upon revisiting it, it's so much more powerful. It's so much, I don't know, That was a real treat just to come back and see that again. So those are, I mean, just like go watch Children of Men again. TJ.
We've covered everything almost, but I'm just gonna go real quick. My honorable mentions, Thief, Junkhead, Penitentiary 2, which I adored.
Blast.
Honestly, like, this year I could have done a top 20. Like, we did so many movies that I really enjoyed, and as the show has evolved, I'm glad we've kind of gotten out of just watching trash every week. It's nice to, like, I mean, we still, and we'll get into it. We did watch our fair share of trash.
Don't get it twisted.
It's nice that we watch, like, good movies.
We never forgot where we came from.
I mean, Oh Brother, We're Out There with, where Alec already mentioned, it's a fucking brilliant movie. But anyway, my number three, which I don't think has been mentioned yet, is Pig.
Yeah.
I think it's Alec's honorable.
Yeah, I gave it an honorable.
I gave it tremendous. I gave it my number three because, if you remember, I had seen the film before and it just didn't connect with me. And I don't know why, because I watched it this time and I was just blown away by how much I loved it.
That's two of your three movies. Yeah. Children of Men you didn't like. I remember, I think I saw it with you, and you did not like that at all when we saw it in the theater.
I was disappointed by the ending, but then, bless you, watching it now, my number two is Children of Men, which I think is a fucking masterpiece. Like, I think that movie is so raw and intense and just, like, again, like, all the performances are great. The world building is, like, out of control. Like, I think that the world that they build in that movie without going into, like, a ton of exposition. I mean, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like movie making 101. Cause how many movies have we watched? Like, I will get into, like, my bottoms where, like, the fucking world building is trash and they just over explain everything. But, like, Children of Men, right? Why did I say
men?
Yeah. I mean, what a fucking great movie. I loved it. I loved it to death. And, like, and Alex, right. Like, Pig and Children of Men, like, the two big reasons those are on my top list is because I, for whatever reason, like, I don't know, I just didn't care for either.
I remember you hating that fucking tracking shot where they get blood on the camera forever. Like, I remember, like, you detesting that. I know you probably still don't care for the blood.
The shot's amazing. I really dislike it in general, but in that movie it works because it feels very organic. Like, it's not like a gimmick. You can tell, like, that I feel like it happened by mistake and they left it in.
I read about that. They had it was exactly what TJ just said. Like, something splattered by accident. They're like, we're not stopping the shot.
Like, well, yeah. The sequence was so insane that it was part of, like...
But in general, I hate it because it's very gimmicky, and it, like, and to me, it, like, breaks immersion, but in that movie, it does the complete opposite, where I feel like it is... It enhances your immersion. And really, the strength of that entire movie, like I just said, is you're so engrossed in that world. Like, it's just so well done. Like, it's one of those things where I'm glad they never made another movie, like, about it, like a prequel or a sequel or anything. But, like, you could. Like, the world is so well built, and the characters are so well defined that you could expand that story.
Oh, for sure.
But it's fantastic. And my number one, like we already talked about the death, is Max, Mary and Max. And what a fucking great movie that is. Like, it's just a brilliant, brilliant film that more people need to watch. So, yeah, that rounds out the top movie of the podcast. Should we move on to the bottom?
Oh, yeah.
Started from the bottom. Get to the bottom here.
Do you want me to just start since I already have the.
Yeah, the start with your worst or your number three.
I'm sorry, Sean, but my number three is Map of the Stars, which I absolutely detested.
Like, my number three.
Oh,
I hated that movie so much. I love David Cronenberg to death, but like it is so
fucking ponderous, man.
And like I know, like it's funny because like at the same time I understand like that is what he's going for. But it still doesn't work. It's like when like people in the old it doesn't look like our house. Oh, hey buddy.
I know it doesn't look like
your house. He wants everybody to be like vacuous and annoying, but it doesn't make the movie fun or interesting to watch. It's just very tough. And I know like in a lot of ways, like he's trying to make it like a telenovela almost.
Well, I get it. It's like watching like a 4-star chef make a dish. And then it's like, oh, I can tell what you're doing, but I still don't like shrimp. It doesn't matter.
I get it. I get what he's going for, but it's still, to me, it just did not work at all. So that's my number three. My number two is a movie that you guys probably all forgot about because it was so forgettable and terrible, but it's Seventh Son.
That's my number one.
That's also my number two.
I think I missed that week.
Oh, I wouldn't say you missed it.
You did not miss it. That movie
was a piece of shit.
That movie was so bad. And like filled with like so many good actors. You got fucking Lebowski and what's her name from
Julianne Moore.
Julianne Moore. The storyline makes absolutely no fucking sense. There's like all these rules about a seventh son that doesn't really make any sense. It feels like there's like you jumped in the middle of like 18 books. Like there seems to be that there should be so much more to the movie, but there is nothing. It's just fucking just piece of garbage.
And it feels like it's 9 hours long.
Yeah, it's so fucking bad. And then like I just remember that one scene where like they like jump off that cliff and they're like, we're gonna get away from the fucking Cyclops or whatever, and then like the Cyclops just like jumps off the cliff and they're fine. It's like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like
that's what the script said too. We're gonna jump run away from the Cyclops or whatever.
Yeah, I mean they might as well have the rest of the script seemed to have that much effort put into it. It's hilarious that they expected that to be like a tentpole movie. Like there were planned sequels to that.
Well, there are so many of those, like The Last Witch Hunter and then the Vin Diesel one with a similar title and fucking R.I.P.D. also R.I.P.D. Bridges.
Remember Aragon or like the dragon?
I think people actually like that movie though. Like at least young people did.
Is that that?
No, that's Dragonheart.
That movie's not bad. That movie's actually I am the last.
The movie's also old as piss.
Yeah, that movie's from like the 90s, but I remember liking that movie. Seventh Son is my number two, and my number one is the Jennifer Lopez. And like Sean just said, I left. There was a lot of bad 2024 movies, but I left that in my non-movie, the podcast movies, even though we did review my number one. But my number one. My number one.
I think I know what it is.
It's Atlas.
Oh yeah. No, I meant the other. Never mind. The one you left off. Yeah. But go ahead. Yeah.
You'll know what it is. Yeah. Atlas with what's his name, Sterling K. Brown and Jennifer Lopez, where it just felt like you've seen fucking science fiction movies before. Here's another one. And like, it was just
nothing. That's what that was about. I saw it on my list. I gave it a 4 and I was like, what the fuck? Like,
you've seen about every science fiction movie before, right? Well, here's some parts of all of them.
And what's his name? The guy that played what's his name in Marvel? Shang-Chi, was that his name?
Oh yeah.
That guy's usually great, and he gives like one of the worst performances ever seen in a movie. And also like that whole like conceit of like he's like the perfect AI, but then he's evil. Like it was so stupid. He's evil because he like uploads like a human's memory, and it's just like, oh my god.
We should have an award for this, and I'm gonna call it the which guy's in Equilibrium before I'm racist, the Taye Diggs.
Yes.
The Taye Diggs Memorial Villain Bad Acting Award. Because it's always that same exact performance. It's that Taye Diggs in Equilibrium performance.
And Jennifer Lopez brings like nothing to the movie. Like I honestly thought, like I thought the movie was gonna be bad before we watched it. Like I was expecting it to be bad. But like there was robots in it, so I thought maybe like the robot stuff would be cool, but that was terrible. It was awful. Just awful piece of garbage. Like a perfect encapsulation of like trash Netflix movie. You know what I mean? Like just throwing spaghetti at the wall. Just probably still got like a million views or whatever on Netflix because you know they just recycle trash, but just awful, awful piece of garbage. Sean.
I'm driving and holding the phone, old season, reading off a list, so bear with me. Number three, sorry, Anthony, is Robert Redford's Old Man and the Gun, a movie I could not stand. I'm sorry. Again, this is DJ's problem with Map of the Stars. I get what he's going for. I just don't like it. I don't think it works. Yeah, and I think it's one of the most... boring movies I've watched in I couldn't tell you how long. I thought it was insufferable.
That got an honorable mention from me.
Honorable like, dismention or whatever.
Dishonorable mention.
It's you know that Robert Redford in the boat. Like it's that like you waste this like really charming performer and like you're trying to be evocative of that, but it just doesn't work. Like I don't know what it is. You know, we talked it to death. We even had like a fucking like, you know, a special panel convene about it. And I still don't like it. You know what I mean? Like I tried with this movie. My number one was, we already mentioned, The Seventh Son. My number two was Hook, another movie that I really couldn't stand and thought was impossibly long. I know people like it. I know they have affection for it. I don't. I appreciate sets, I guess. But it just like... it sucks. That movie's not good. Like I get nostalgia. It's just a bad movie. And it's so long.
Julia Roberts with like a pixie cut was the only part of the movie I liked.
Yeah, there's a lady I want to fuck in a lot of bad movies. You know what I mean? Wait till the 2024 list has a movie that's chock full of women I'd like to fuck. It's still a bad movie. But yeah, that was I really don't like Old Man and the Gun. There were worse movies we watched, but like just like as a viewing experience, it was those three.
Vitriol from you.
Well, and I also think, Sean, you love David Lowery, so you're probably like expecting a lot, and I get that too. Because did you ever see Green Knight? Did you watch Green Knight?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, it was great. And like a Ghost Story, we all love that movie on the show.
Yeah, and Old Man and a Gun is a total waste of Casey Affleck, who despite his like horrific personal life I enjoy very much as an actor. I think he's really good. So Alec,
My number three is Don't Go to Sleep.
It was so bad. Oh my god.
The TV movie that God remember from when he was 2 years old.
It's yeah, I missed that me, one man.
Yeah, again,
you didn't miss it. The only fun part of that movie was the weird, like, internet Svengali guy that we got clips of
the possessed pizza cutter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The guy, like,
literally
the guy,
the rolling pizza cutter thing, not a guy cutting pizza.
The guy that was literally making an internet web show for like six people, and somehow,
oh my god,
We do the same thing.
Fair.
My number two is Seventh Son. That movie sucks.
Trash.
My number one is Delicatessen.
Oh no. Oh, you know what?
I'm with Alec. I don't like that movie.
Yeah. I did not like it. You guys said that guy directed something else that's really famous, right?
Amelie.
Amelie is fucking tremendous.
Yeah, and I love Amelie. City of Lost Children and Alien Resurrection,
which also was in this year.
Talk about submissive. But yeah, I did not like Delicatessen. I didn't like the message from it. I didn't like the sets and the design. Plus, it's French, and that already set it back like a couple of points.
Yeah, that's a massive problem.
It is French.
My honorable mentions: Anaconda, Old Man of the Guns, one, Highlander 2.
Oh, Highlander 2 was rough.
Highlander 2.
We watched it way back
That was the very first movie we reviewed last year.
Oh god.
Did everybody go for worst yet?
Gogs.
So my third worst was Map of the Stars, or Map to the Stars. Trash. My second worst was the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street. Trash.
That was so bad.
And I know it's going to show up later on another list, but it was so bad I have to keep it on this list. What was Madam Web? And I'm sure we're going to talk about that a lot more later.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, like Anaconda sucked. Ghoulies 3 sucked. What else sucked? Atlas was trash. And I didn't even like Don't Go to Sleep because what do I know? Just fucking Madam Web was just, we'll get into it later, I'm sure, but it's just awful. But yeah, the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, like, unnecessary.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
With my new favorite actor, Kyle Gardner.
Yeah, and that guy rules.
And, he's so good. He's such a good actor. And he's terrible in that fucking movie.
Yeah. So there we have it. Alec, what's next?
Well, we'll do the... we'll clear out of the movie, the podcast stuff first, so we could do surprise and then disappointment.
Okay.
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
My surprise was Rebel Moon Part 1.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's Rebel Moon Part 1's. Yeah, that counts.
I thought Rebel Moon Part 1 was really good. I thought it was a blast. And then.
Did we do both of those this year?
We did. Well, I think Rebel Moon Part 1 snuck in at the end of last year, but yeah.
Oh, I thought it was this year.
It's on my list of things we watched this year. It was like pre-Molies, but I don't think it.
That's fine. Whatever.
My disappointment. It leads me to my disappointment, which is Rebel Moon Part 2.
That was my disappointment.
Because I thought Rebel Moon Part 1 was a blast. It wasn't like great, but it's a Zack Snyder Star Wars ripoff. I expected it to be awful. I thought the first part was a lot of fun, and then like he does a lot, he lost the thread in the second one. Has none of the charm or fun from the first one at all.
Have you gone back and watched the extended cuts of either one of the?
No. Absolutely not. Gogs.
So yeah, my biggest. I have two honorable mentions for biggest surprise because I was trying to think about how. So my first biggest surprise, my number one biggest surprise was Tokyo Godfathers because I didn't think I would love that movie as much as I did. And it's a triumph.
So good.
Really just a beautiful, and I just had no idea. But my other, I just want to
pause real quick. Alec, I know you weren't on the show last week, but did you get a chance to watch Tokyo Godfathers?
I did not.
Okay. I really like you.
I think you would watch it.
I think you would love it. And I put an English version on the Plex, so you don't have to read.
You're better.
Alec, I know like picking what Alec will like is the hardest thing on this show, but I think you would really like Tokyo Godfather. Yeah.
Concur. I do want to mention these other two surprises, though. I was surprised that I turned my view of the A-Team movie around, and I really enjoyed that.
It's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie. So I was wrong. And
also, I remember you hating the fucking tank scene.
I did. And now I love it.
It's so much fun. That's like one of the best scenes.
I admit when I'm wrong.
Shout out to Joe Carnahan. Who
Joe Carnahan.
What's he done lately?
Boss Level. And then
he did Boss Level. That was a couple years ago. That was pretty good.
That was solid. I love that movie. Then I would also like to bring up how much I enjoyed how much I enjoyed the Roadhouse remake.
That's my big surprise.
Because that was bananas. It was good, but it was bananas.
Well, it's funny to me because so many film, YouTube and TikTok, they act like that movie is like the worst thing they've ever seen. And then in a year where you have fucking Madam Web and Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven and Joker 2
and it's fucking insane because it's not like a great movie, but like it's fun and it's stupid. Like what's his name? Irish McGee's
Conor McGregor.
How to do an Irish accent is amazing,
bro. And he's walking around. He's walking around like this the whole movie. He's like, "I'm here because of your father." Like
I fucking love sandwiches,
bro. Every time, and like, remember every time he showed up in a scene, he was like Grand Theft Autoing everything because he was just crashing a car somewhere and then getting out of it. Like that shit was
batshit insane.
By the way, Joe Carnahan has three movies in production right now, and they all have the greatest titles. He's got a movie called Shadow Force coming out.
Okay.
He's got a movie called Not Without Hope, and then he's also got a movie that's just called R.I.P.
Shout out Joe Carnahan.
Shadow Force sounds like that. What was that video game with Mickey Rourke voicing Duke Marchinko or whatever? It's like the most cursing game ever.
Oh, you're like talking about
Rogue Ops or something.
The mercenary game, right? It was Soldier of Fortune. That's the game you're talking about, right?
It's something like that. He's like, "Oh, this is such a cocksucking goat fuck," or something. Yeah,
that game. The funniest thing about that game, Sean, is that game was licensed by Soldier of Fortune magazine,
which
is so fucking funny. That was like the Frank Duke magazine. Like it was a magazine for people that wanted to LARP as operators. Hilarious. Yeah,
fucking Meal Team Sixes. And I, my biggest disappointment, because we're doing that too, right? Was where'd it go? I had you written down. Oh, yeah, it was also, I'm sorry, I already said it was Rebel Moon Part 2 because I really enjoyed the first one. The first one was like a fucking Warhammer movie, and I was like, hell yeah. And the second movie just sucked a pile of shit.
Yeah, I forgot that you all generally liked that one. I remember being the only dissenting voice on that episode because I hated it. Like, correct. I really.
Well, you saw the writing on the wall because the sequel sucked. TJ, are you're next?
I'm next. Yes.
Okay, go.
I believe. So my biggest surprise on the show this year was Alien Resurrection, a movie that if you had asked me before the show, I'd be like, "Yeah, it's trash." I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, again, is it like a great Alien movie? Not really, but like it's better than like the last four Alien sequels.
Mm-hmm. It's trying something.
It's better than Romulus. It's better than fucking Prometheus. It's better than, I can't even remember, Covenant. Was that the last one?
Yeah.
I enjoyed it more than all of those movies. And it's still, it's weird. It's like, it's got like that I can't think of his name, but the delicatessen guy, it's got his weird sensibilities and Dutch angles. What's his name? Wormtongue. I can't think of anybody's name today. Brad Dourif is fucking wonderful in the movie. I wish he was in it more. Like Ripley is doing weird shit in that movie. Like, I don't know. It was very watchable.
It was very French and wet and gay.
But it's like, it's a very watchable movie, and like in the same way that like the other Alien, like Alien and Aliens and Alien 3 are kind of like its own piece, like that's what Resurrection felt like. I mean, if you take out the stupid alien human hybrid, the movie's not that bad. Like I said, I enjoyed watching it. I was not, when we picked it, I was like, oh God, like it's going to be terrible, but I actually had a fun time watching it. I did not.
Wait a minute. You're a robot that believes in Jesus. Yeah, but we only got like 20 minutes left of the movie. We can't get into it.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. My biggest disappointment, sorry, Anthony, Old Man and the Gun, I'm with Sean on this one. I just did not care for this movie whatsoever. I wanted to love it. I think David Lowery is a fucking genius. I think I had one of my, like, most emotional shows when we did A Ghost Story. Like, I think that movie hits me on levels like a lot of other movies just don't. I love The Green Knight. Like, I love David Lowery. But I just, and I love his seasoned salt as well. I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, The Old Man and the Gun was just such a wet fart for me. Like, I didn't like it at all. I didn't enjoy my time with it. I just did not care for that film whatsoever. It was trash. So yeah, that was my biggest disappointment on the show. Cause again, I was expecting a lot. Like, I generally agree with Anthony's movie takes. But yeah, that one was not one of them. I just did not care for that movie whatsoever. So that's everybody, right?
Well, no, I didn't do. Oh, I pulled a Gogs here, I think, for biggest disappointment, and I went off like regular movies and not movie the podcast movies. So forgive
me.
That's fine. But my biggest disappointment was Boy Kills World, a movie I was really looking forward to. That was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, I still haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I mean. The trailer was cool. It was, you know, it looked like Ruiner, kind of, the movie, which is apparently going to be a movie.
Going to be a movie, yeah.
But it's just not very good. Also, speaking of video game movies, the Silent Hill 2 is getting turned into a movie directed by the guy that made Brotherhood of the Wolf. So apparently that's coming out next year.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but nah, the Boy Kills World, it was like, you know, it was just kind of a wet fart. I don't know. I wanted to like it. It was fine. That was it. Okay. And my biggest surprise was also Roadhouse. It was Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse.
Like, I genuinely enjoyed, like, unironically and ironically enjoyed that movie, which is a rare double treat.
Yeah. And you know, what's his name? A pretty good heavy, like, shockingly, you know, like, he's kind of a twink in most movies, but in this movie, like, you believe that he could, like, kick some ass. He
kills that guy?
Like, yeah.
He kills so many people. Yeah.
Oh, man, that fucking bar fight at the end. Yeah,
Jake Gyllenhaal.
He, like, cracks the guy's throat and just leaves him in the pool to, slowly drown.
He murders. It's
like, we got a bookstore that's involved for some reason, even though, like, nobody in this town can read.
It was in there so he'd have motivation to go kill everybody at the end of the movie.
Yeah, but a fucking bookstore?
Yeah, a bookstore. a bookstore that's literally next to the bus stop.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing that happens.
So, yeah. Okay. That was it for me.
All right. Alec, what's next? Top outside the show?
No, we'll do Land Cancelable Bows to get the show done with and then go to external movies.
I didn't do any Lang and Camps. I didn't think that was a category.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think we were doing that either. I didn't see it on the thing.
I can work one up real quick.
I mean, if you're not going to relook at this list, like, there's a couple of, like, I thought I set out the same list to everybody.
Uh-uh. I just looked at the picture on the group chat.
There's no Lang and Camps in that one.
I'll make one up, though.
I could think of a couple.
Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't put it on there. I mean, we don't have to do it.
We don't really talk about we've matured.
We've matured.
Sure we have. Every movie teacher. Well, she showed her tits.
To be fair, that does get you 2 points.
I mean,
Night of the Comet. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. Oh, give me what's her face that played Julia Carpenter, not Julia Carpenter and Madame Web, was it Sydney Sweeney?
I was gonna say Sophia Boutella because she needs to get more work because she's awesome.
All right,
She kicks a ton of ass, even though she keeps getting cast in like the worst shit. The
worst fucking movie. Yeah, she's awesome though. Love her.
Yeah.
And my Momoa was Chris Pine from Hell or High Water.
Oh, I can give a Momoa out to Jake Gyllenhaal.
For Roadhouse, I give him the Momoa. He's fucking getting it done. Yeah. He's jacked as hell.
We didn't watch anything with Jason Momoa in it this year. Because
he wasn't in Rebel Moon, that's right. Like, it seemed like a movie he would be in.
It feels like a Momoa.
Oh, give me Kurt Russell and Soldier for my Momoa.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Kurt Russell was yoked in that fucking movie. Who was the bad guy in that? He was yoked too. Wasn't that what was his name? Jason Lee? No.
No, it was...
Who was that? Who was the bad guy?
It wasn't Goldberg. I'm thinking of Universal Soldier. What was...
Don't remember.
It was... I can't think of it. He was fucking yoked, too. That was like...
It was the big... He was Asian. He was gigantic. He was...
Yeah.
Yeah. What was... Who was that?
I'm looking it up now.
Oh, Jason Scott Lee. Jason Isaacs was the...
Jason Lee, the guy that was Bruce Lee in the Bruce Lee story.
Yeah.
That was a cool movie, too. What happened to Jason Scott Lee? That guy was pretty kick-ass.
Cocaine, perhaps? Know.
He's still around. He's still doing stuff. He does voice acting now. Anyway, all right, next.
Next.
Next will be... do you want to do best or worst regular movies first?
Let's start worst. This is a...
Can we all just knock Madam Web out real quick?
Yeah, Madam Web's on the bottom of everyone's list. Yes.
Madam Web was my number one. My number one.
My number three, believe it or not.
Wow. Oh. All right.
Yeah, Sean, it was also my number one was Madam Web.
Yeah, I mean, it was barely a movie. It was like the bare bones of a movie. And I think Alec on the show looked up like the Wikipedia where like the original idea of the movie was like Terminator with Spider Women, and that sounds so much fucking better than what we got. That's like makes the movie even worse. It's just like, god damn it. Go ahead, Sean.
My number three was Madam Web, which I'm sure is everybody else's number whatever. Yeah. My number two was the aforementioned Village Walking Simulator Rebel Moon Part 2.
That also made my list. I forgot that it was so bad it made two lists. No, it did make a bad list for me for the show, but yeah, it's bad for 2024. Scargiver.
Yeah, my number one is going to no fans. And this goes back to the expectations thing, like we talked about with David Lowery. My number one is Alex Garland's Civil War. I fucking hate that movie.
Yeah, like, you're not a fan.
Big hate that movie, like, you know, and maybe it's not fair for me to expect like a fantastic movie, but all he's made is fantastic movies, so that's on him. Movie is nothing. It is a nothing movie. It is a fucking waste of time. It has nothing to say other than this weird like lionization of traditional media. I know I went on at length about this movie when we talked about it before, but I really, really, really do not like Civil War, and I'm not looking forward to whatever his war follow-up movie is that I think is also going to be crappy.
So, isn't his next movie 28 years later?
Yeah, well, he's doing that, and he's doing, well, his next directed and written movie is called, like, War Face or something like that.
Yeah, no, count me out.
What about 28 years later? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to watch that, but Danny Boyle's involved with that, too, so.
Yeah.
Okay, I think Alex Garland wrote Civil War.
Yeah, he did.
He's more hits than misses, though. Like
This is his only miss. I mean, he's like,
yeah, all Annihilation. Annihilation rocks.
But somebody else wrote all those movies.
Ex Machina rocks. Dread rocks. Men was great. I'm missing one. Annihilation. Yeah, you already said it. Annihilation's fucking fantastic. Like, he's only made good stuff. That show he made, Devs, was really good. Like, yeah, it was a miss. I'll give you that. I didn't hate it as much as you did, but it also didn't end up in any of my top of the year lists. So, anyway. Is that three for you?
Yeah, that's it. TJ.
My number three was The Crow, a movie that I knew was going to be bad going into it, and it somehow was worse than I expected. It's a remake that, like, doesn't do anything better than the original, and, like, it strays enough from the original where it's like, why did you even try to make this a remake? Like, why are the characters that have the same names? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so heartless, and there's no, like, I don't know. When you make a remake, right, the idea is that you have, like, something new to bring to it, and there's just nothing to this movie. It's not like, overly violent. It's not, like, fun, or they didn't do anything. Like, they didn't make it more like the original comic book, which, like, that's an idea. Like, if you're going to make a Crow remake, well, make it more accurate to the comic books, maybe, and it's not that. it's just really, really fucking bad. The girl that plays Shelly, she's like a musician. I think her name is like FKW Twigs or something. She's like allergic to acting. Like she cannot act like at all.
You Philistine.
Huh?
No, I'm just making a kill face joke. Continue.
Yeah. My number two is Joker Folly Ado, which is one of the worst like big budget movies I've ever seen in my life.
Wait, it had a secondary title?
Yes.
Oh my.
It is horrible. I don't understand how they spent $200 million on it because it also looks really bad. Like, it'd be one thing if like it was like terrible, but at least it, like you could see where the money went. But it looks awful, and I assume that Todd Phillips just pocketed $198 million. Like, I don't know where they spent this money because it looks like shit. The idea when they announced that the movie was going to be a musical, I was like, well, that's a stupid idea. But like, maybe he's got something. Maybe he's like making his fucking Dancer in the Dark or something. And it's not. It's just like the musical sequences are just in the movie, but they don't advance the plot. The music has nothing to do with the storyline. The storyline itself, it could have been told in 20 minutes. Like it's just really fucking bad. And now like the narrative that people are saying, it's like, oh, he made it bad on purpose. Like, I'm sorry. Like that doesn't play. That's ridiculous to me. Like I just hated it like a lot. Like I just thought like it was just such just a waste of time. And like, I mean, you can say what you want about Joker 1. I still think it's a pretty good movie. I know people have kind of soured on it over the years, but I think it's a solid movie. I don't think it's like a great movie, but I think that Joaquin Phoenix's performance in the first movie kind of elevates the material, but all that's wasted in this movie. There's just nothing to it. And what they decided to bring to it is just more nothing. It's just nothing on top of nothing gives you nothing. And it's just shit. I hated it. And my number one is Madame Web, which we've talked about to death. It was utterly painful to watch. To the idea to have a movie with all the Spider Women characters is kind of cool because, you know, they're great characters. There's a lot of cool storylines you could do with all of those Spider Women. I mean, they did it. I mean, I know, again, polarizing movie, but I feel like the portrayal of those same characters in the second Spider-Verse movie was better than in fucking Madame Web. At least they had powers. At least they did something. Like, they don't have powers at the whole movie. Like, they like, what was the point of that fucking movie? The villain makes no sense. The plot makes no sense. Like, what's her name? 50 Shades of Grey. Like, she's kind of psychic, but kind of not. Like, it just was terrible.
She's like the worst possible psychic. Like, she can see barely 15 minutes in the future, and she's never.
And they don't even have a Matt Smith there to, like, you know, salt it up a little bit for a couple minutes.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like, it's not even fun. Like, it's not even, like, fun bad. Like, at least, like, Venom is like stupid, and Morbius had like its have sex dance number that's like funny. Like, this, there's nothing like funny about this movie, or nothing, there's nothing memorable at all about Madame Web. It's just terrible. So yeah, that's my top three, or bottom three. Gogs.
All right, so my 2024 bottom three, Madame Web. Well, so my third worst was a movie that I watched on my own in the wild. What's up, AJ?
Can I ask this question?
What? What's your question?
Why is it movie related?
What?
Why do we have the background?
Because I put the background on.
Can we have an alien attacking us?
Or maybe later. I know. So anyway.
The way he phases in and out of existence bothers me. I don't care for it.
Yeah. Sorry about that. He is, you know, adorable.
No, it's just that he like appears out of the nether. It's not that he's on the show. It's like
he just vamps in. No, yeah. Yeah. All right. So I watched this movie solo. And it's, I think it's a Shudder original. It's called History of Evil.
Yeah. It's movie you saved me from watching because the poster looked
the poster
really
slaps. The poster kind of rules. The movie sucks hard, like impossibly hard. But there's stuff that sucked harder. Because Scargiver was my second from the bottom. We can just keep, I mean, we can keep skull dragging Madame Web though for the rest of the podcast if we so desire, because it is that bad.
And we should. I mean, and we really should.
there's a whole YouTube video, I think it's 40 minutes long, about the ADR, just the ADR, and how bad it is. And it is fascinating that
that's also the same video where they do kind of like, they try to piece together what the movie probably used to be, right?
Is that
Yeah.
But I also want to just throw this out there as an honorable mention, because it was in the four slot for the fourth worst thing I saw in 2024, was Late Night with the Devil, another movie I wanted to like. So it turned out bailed.
Shocked how many people, like how many people I saw that put that in like their top of the year, because I thought that movie was awful, just wasted potential. Well, like, I love what half
of it's kind of fun. Yeah, David Dalmachain.
Yeah, he's great. He's fantastic. Or
Das Malchin, I think is how you say his name. I just recently rewatched Blade Runner 2049, because why wouldn't I? And I forget that he's in that, and his brief moment in that is great.
Yeah, he gets killed by Joy in that.
Have you turned the corner, but have your affection for that movie grown? Because I remember when we saw it in the theater, you're kind of like, it's like a 7.
No, I adore it. Like I think this is like the fourth time I've watched it now, and with every viewing, I get more and more into it. Like I just screw Madam Web, be more like Blade Runner 2049. Baby Goose is so good in it. Everyone's good in it. Even Jared Leto's tremendous in it. Like there's not a bad performance in the whole film. The plot is outstanding. The story is next level. So yes, any disparaging remarks I had made previously about Blade Runner 2049, I officially rescind.
Well, it's not like you were like negative about the movie. I just remember you're kind of like tepid on it a little bit. You're just kind of like,
not no more. No. I'm all the way in. Good. Who hasn't done bottom?
Alec.
Madam Web's number one.
Hey,
yada yada. The Mean Girls musical.
Oh, that was bad.
So bad.
Yeah, that was so bad.
Yeah, that's real bad and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't like you said about remakes and stuff. It didn't add anything.
Yeah, and casting the lead as someone who couldn't sing is a choice. Like I don't know what they were thinking with that one. It was very weird.
And my other one, I don't really have these in order, but there was a Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
That
movie's bad.
And you like the one before that, right? Afterlife.
Oh, I loved it. Afterlife was great. Yeah. I just watched it again a few weeks ago, but like, or at least like half of it. But like, and it's directed by, both of them are directed by Jason Reitman, but it's like he totally misunderstood what people liked about Afterlife and just tried it. And it might have been noted to death, because I think Afterlife was kind of a surprise with how big of a hit it was. But like everything that was good about Afterlife was like small, kind of charming, not like a big, I mean, it's like the end of the world, but it's not like in New York. It was in like the middle of nowhere, I think Oklahoma or something.
Yeah.
But then they go right back to New York and right back to, just overloading the movie with too many things. And they bring back, Dickless from the first movie. And like every character, every living person from the original movies is still alive. They crammed them back into this one.
Yeah.
Love it. So that's my bottom.
Bottom. We are hauling through this. This might be our favorite Mollies of all time.
I'll do my top real quick, and then we can move through. My number three, my third best movie. That I saw this year was Sasquatch Sunset.
I still need to watch that. It's on the
loved plot. It. It's so good. And literally there's not a single word in the whole movie. It's so good. I can't even describe the movie. Like not a lot happens, but it's just incredible. And everybody should check that out. I think it's under an hour. I think it's like an hour 28.
Perfect. Like, is like the perfect runtime. Yeah.
It's tremendous. Number two was, I think for the first time, a documentary, Will and Harper. I really loved that, the documentary from Netflix about Will Ferrell and Harper. I forget her last name. She used to be, she was a writer for SNL, and then she transitioned to a woman, over COVID. But I thought that movie was
that
tremendous.
Makes you do that.
Yeah, the Fox News. Thank you, Fauci.
She wasn't vaccinated.
Oh shit!
She didn't get the Fauci ouchie.
Oh, not getting vaccinated turns trans.
It's conservatives' worst nightmare.
God, I wish that was true. That would be a movie.
That'd be so great. Sean, get on writing that.
A couple of honorable mentions before I get to my number one. I loved Roadhouse. I loved The Fall Guy. I loved The Beekeeper. A Quiet Place 3. Whatever a Quiet Place
Day came 1 out or whatever
year.
It was called.
Day 1, yeah, Day 1. Those were all a blast. My number one is Dune 2.
Shout out. So good.
The first movie, the first Dune, when I watched it on an airplane. I literally fell asleep watching it. I was so bored. But Dune 2 is just, even not understanding all the politics and dynamics in the movie, like, Dune 2 absolutely slaps. And it's what made me realize Timothée Chalamet is actually, like, a great actor. Because he'd never really done it for me before that. But, like, the scene in the cave and then the scene at the end with Christopher Walken, where he's just asserting himself over everybody, are both just, like, dude, some of the best acting like I've ever seen in a movie.
Timothée Chalamet is one of those people that's like the reverse of actors. Like, because the more I find out about him, the more I like him. Like,
his Nardwar interview.
Like he knows ball. He knows hip hop. At least like his era of it. Like, he seems like a fun guy.
Oh yeah, when he's breaking down, was it like?
They didn't have a college game day, didn't they?
But like Atlanta Penn football or something. Yeah.
He's like a big Knicks like sicko. Like, yeah. He custom painted video game controllers.
He had like a YouTube page when he was like a kid. That it was pretty funny. Like, but that scene, to get back to what Alex was talking about, that scene in the cave where he like basically is like asserts himself in front of the Fremen. Oh my god, so fucking good.
Lisa Nagaib.
Yeah, and he's talking with like that guttural voice, and just so basically just owning everybody. Oh, it's so good! And that's one of the best like scenes in a movie.
I cannot
from
wait
this
for
year.
Dune Messiah. Like, give me it right now. Put it in my veins.
Let me pick up for you after Alec.
Sean. Sure.
My number three was Dune 2. As much as I love the first movie, it tops it somehow.
Yeah, I agree.
And for a movie that starts again, like in the middle, it works incredibly well. It's especially in like present day. Like, I think the message kind of works for me a lot, even though the real message of the book, and I don't want to spoil anything, kind of is tough. When you're talking about Paul, but that movie's fucking beautiful. Like, it holds your attention for like 2 hours and 40 minutes. Like, it's so fucking good. It's handicapped, I think, by the fact that it came out in January. If it had come out in December, you know, it might have made higher up. My next two, it's a coin flip. It really is. I love both of these movies so much for different reasons. But my number two is Strange Darlings, the aforementioned Kyle Gallner film, which is like everything I loved about like indie 90s movies.
Yeah.
Writ large, I do understand everybody's kind of issue with the movie, and like I don't negate that, but I think it surpasses it. I think it's like a super tight, well done movie that's not told in sequence, but also is not like gimmicky in that way, I don't think. I mean, it's shot on 35, like it's just a fantastic fucking movie. My number one is I Saw the TV Glow.
That's also my number one.
Which is just like a gorgeous, like, not interesting movie that comes from perspectives that you're not used to, and it's weird and it's affecting and all the performances are good, and it's like so from out of nowhere, and like it's a movie I want to recommend to everybody but simultaneously can't recommend to anybody, if that makes sense. Like, it's high art kind of without being pretentious. Like, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I could talk about that movie forever. One of the best final scenes in any movie I can think of.
Oh my God, the ending in that movie is such a gut punch. And like the message of that movie is like, even if like you forego the trans allegory, but like the idea that like you're not living the life that you really should be living, but you're just stuck in it. Like, I don't know. I feel that very hard. Like,
And the fact that it all kind of revolves around like an Are You Afraid of the Dark type TV show.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I can't say enough about that movie. Like, a great year for movies. Like, Kill was another great movie that I loved that we saw in the theater. Kinds of Kindness in any other year would be on my list. That movie, Walled In or whatever, that Chinese movie I want to watch really bad, probably would end up there.
I watched the first 20 minutes. It was insane. I just started it way too late. But yeah, I'm excited to finish it. Yeah, it was off. The first half hour is really good. I just started it at like 11 o'clock at night for some dumb reason.
Furiosa was a great movie, and I'm glad it's getting a lot of love on your end list. Like, I think like a couple like big critics had it at their number one.
It was, that's my number three.
But really tough. Dune 2 is probably like, as just like an objective piece of filmmaking, is probably the best of the three of them, but it didn't, the other two hit me in different ways. So I'll go to TJ since we've got that one link.
I could have made like a ton of, like, there was a lot of good stuff this year. I'm gonna just throw out an honorable mention that I only watched because of In Frame Out's year end. It's this Japanese movie that's called Evil Does Not Exist. And it's this weird ass movie that's about this small piece of land and how, like, basically you have this like story about like how corporations want to privatize everything and turn everything into like commercial space. But then also how like people that are conservationists also are kind of motivated in their own way. And also kind of everyone kind of fucks up the earth and everyone thinks they're trying to do their best, but we all kind of fuck up in our own way. But no one's really, like, the title's right. Like, no one's really, like, even the, like, corporate people aren't, like, evil. And it's a very weird, interesting, like, nuanced film that I highly recommend. It reminded me a lot of a movie that I watched earlier this year called Charisma, which is also, like, a weird movie about, like, the Earth. It's really good. I highly recommend it. I didn't even hear about this movie until In Frames Out list. That gets an honorable mention. Stuff that barely did not make my list. Kinds of Kindness, I really loved. I love Yogurt Lanthimos at his weirdest, and Kinds of Kindness is like him at his most like unhinged and weird, and I loved it. It's funny, it's fucking just bonkers. I loved all the performances in it. And Rebel Ridge is a movie that didn't make my top three. But I thought Rebel Ridge was great. Great return to form for Jeremy Saulnier. I think the lead actor in that is fucking Aaron Pierre is fucking great. And I hope he gets tons of more work. I'm glad he washed off the M. Night Shyamalan stink. A movie that almost made my bottom was that M. Night Shyamalan movie Trap, which was fucking awful. But yeah, Rebel Ridge was wonderful. Like a very fun take on the Rambo kind of storytelling, and then a fun subversion because it's not really violent at all. It's about kind of like outthinking the redneck cops, and also a very poignant movie about like police over abusing their power
and civil asset forfeiture. Yeah.
Which is real. The Substance is a movie that I've warmed up to since I saw it again. I've watched it twice since I saw it in the theater. It's a movie that I thought like the comedy parts in it didn't really work, but now I kind of changed my mind because I think initially when I watched that movie, I was kind of expecting it to be something else. And I think I even said it on the show, like I kind of wanted the Brandon Cronenberg version of that movie where it's a little bit more serious and like gross and like hard hitting, but the movie isn't trying to do that. Like it's the most non-subtle allegorical movie you're ever going to see. And the comedy kind of works because that's what it's not unintentional. You know what I mean? And I feel like I've definitely warmed up to that movie as the year has gone on. But anyway, another quick one. Sorry. Love Lies Bleeding just barely didn't make my list. Love Lies Bleeding is fucking fantastic by the director of St. Maud. Like a really, really good, grimy, like 80s movie with like two really strong performances. Loved it to death. Crazy ending, which I also really liked. Reminded me of like a Takashi Miike movie with how crazy the ending goes, but really, really good. But anyway, my number three is Furiosa, which I loved to death, thought was wonderful. It's not as good as Fury Road, and it's almost a shame that it's always going to get compared to Fury Road, but like nothing is better than Fury Road. Like Fury Road is one of the best action movies like of the last, like, I don't know, 30 years. And Furiosa is really, really good. So it's always going to sit in the shadow of Fury Road, but I thought Furiosa was great. I like that it went in a different direction of Fury Road. It's more of like an epic. And I thought that Anya Taylor-Joy was great. I thought that George Miller, as always, like delivers on the action.
Fury Road was so good. They nominated it for Best Picture because they're afraid if they didn't, people would kill them.
Yeah, I mean, and also shout out to fucking Chris Hemsworth, who gives like I think one of his best performances I've ever seen. Like his performance as the villain in that movie is so fucking good, and that final sequence with Furiosa and him is so well done. It's just I love that movie. I know a lot of people gave it shit because of like it uses CGI, but it didn't distract me. Like I don't know. Like I know that Fury Road is like the king of practical and all, but like again, I think what people need to understand is that Fury Road took 10 years to make. Like, did you really want him to spend 10 years to make Furiosa? Like I'm perfectly fine with what we got. I love the movie. My number two is Long Legs, a very polarizing film, but a movie that like I've watched probably half a dozen times since I've seen it in the theater. And I saw it in the theater, I think three times. Like, I love this movie. I love like everything about it. Like I love Nick Cage in the movie. I love Oz Perkins and his weird, ominous like atmosphere in all of his films. I thought Micah Monroe did a great job. I love that a lot of people don't like it because it kind of boils down to like devil magic at the end, but like whatever, it's a devil movie. Just like The Black Coat's Daughter is a devil movie. Like I enjoyed it a lot. I think it's really, really good. And then my number one is I Saw the TV Glow, which is a movie that I think is a fucking masterpiece. Like I just think that the movie stuck with me all year. And I just think that it's such a special film that I don't know. Like it's like Sean said, right? Like it's so interesting because its entry point is kind of 90s nostalgia. Like it's literally about like a Are You Afraid of the Dark or a Goosebumps TV show. And that's just your entry point. And then it goes into so much more. I mean, it's an allegory from the director. It's an allegory about the trans experience, but I think it also can pretty easily be, you know, converted to just not feeling where you need to be in life or feeling like you're an imposter in your own life. And I mean, there's a sequence in that movie that like really, really hit me where like the movie like does this time skip. And it's just like I think the main character has like a dialogue that's like ever since like I didn't make this decision, like the world has just felt like I've been on like a DVD on like fast forward. And it's like, yeah, I get that like so much. Like you feel like you're stuck. And then again, the end of that movie where a lot of people have thrown I Saw the TV Glow into like the horror category, but it's more of like, I don't know, like existential horror in a weird way. But like the visuals are great and the music choices are great. And I just think it's a very, very special movie. Like I agree with Sean completely. It's a movie that like I want people to watch, but I don't know if it's going to resonate with everybody, but I think it's very special. So yeah, that was me. Very good year in movies.
Also like in the top 30 of worst reviewed movies on IMDb this year.
That's insane to me. That's absolutely insane. So yeah. Gogs.
Let's see here. Honorable mentions. I really liked Long Legs. I really liked Fall Guy a lot. I love Furiosa. It just barely made it. Didn't make it into my top list. Sure. And I really liked, and I just think it deserves some love, is Azrael. And the more I sat with that movie, the more I enjoyed it.
It was fun.
But so my top three, In my number three slot was Monkey Man, which I'm surprised didn't show up anyone's list.
That was very good. Yeah, that should.
Dev Patel is just kicking a pile of ass.
You'd like it, Sean. You would love it, Sean.
It's really good. It's well shot. It's well directed. The choreography of the fight scenes is insane. Dev Patel is just out there just doing work. And it's revenge based, so you know, sign me the fuck up. I love all things revenge. Speaking of revenge, and we've already talked about it, in my number two slot was Dune 2. Just beautiful. Love the story. Love everything everybody said. Like, Chalamet is tremendous in it. Javier Bardem's amazing in it. The scene where the Fremen like pop up out of the sand and just like laser lance the spice like things.
Oh my
like,
god!
I'm just
so
like
good.
I'm like just yes, yes, please.
Dude,
like,
it how is, good is the guerrilla bombing scene where they're taking down the fucking?
It's insane. Like it's also, so fucking good. And
TJ mentioned this with the first one, and like what an era we live in when like the Dune movies not only came out and are good, but are like intensely memeable by normies. Like how many Lisan Al-Gaib memes did you see this
right?
It was just a very popular movie. Like I think like it resonated with so many people and like a wide audience. It's interesting because I mean, you know, I love the Dune books, but especially the first book is like very tough to read. Like, I will be the first one to admit it.
I think the first one's the easiest to read.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I disagree with that.
The first book is just guys describing shit that's happening outside.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of the books aren't nearly as long as the first one. The first one is super long.
Yeah, but then they get like progressively more insane.
They get weirder, sure, but like they're quicker reads and they're more like, I mean, they're more in the moment, whereas like Dune 1 is more about like building the entire galaxy. You know what I mean? I don't know. Again, don't get me started. We could do hours of podcasts on the Dune books. I'll never forget. I was reading all of them at the time I was dating somebody and I was talking about it so much. She ended up reading all of them. And then she's like, "You're completely right. They're the greatest books I've ever read." And it's like she became like a huge Dune head like me. So,
well, it's a banger. Good for her. Good for you for doing that for her.
Well, it was only funny because at first she's like, "Will you shut the fuck up about these books?" Like, enough.
I mean, she wasn't wrong.
True.
And then my number one was, we already talked about it, but I'm just going to come back to Strange Darling. I loved it. I thought the movie was super good. I know it's polarizing and I know, fan of the show, Anthony says, if you tell the story in order, it's boring, but they didn't. So it wasn't. So
you know, Anthony, you know, what's boring.
I'm just going to say like, Kyle, whatever his name is, tremendous.
Watch Dinner in America. You'll love that movie.
I love one of those two things. So
Dinner?
Yeah, love it. Dinner's a huge one. Dinner rules.
Shout out dinner. Hot take though. Breakfast is better than dinner.
Oh no, that's not a hot
breakfast take. Or dinner is the champ.
You can have anything for breakfast.
That is true.
That's why brunch will reign supreme. But yeah, that movie rules. I was surprised how much I it got its hooks in me quick and then he just stayed in me. I loved it. But yeah, that's my top movies for me for 2024 wildly released.
So we got, we have most,
what we're most excited for?
Most excited for next year.
I actually like, because I thought it was fun, I did put something down for a DVD to take to heaven with me. And just to be, I don't know if I got one too.
I got one. Sure.
I'm just going to say mine real quick. It's the Big Trouble in Little China Escape from New York DVD combo. That's mine.
Is that a thing?
It is. It is. Oh, awesome. I was really hoping that they would make The Thing and Big Trouble in Little China together, but I'm good with Escape from New York. That works for me.
I love
it. Mine is because I took the assignment to heart and thought of DVDs when purchasing DVDs was like my number one fucking thing to do. Mine's Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. Mm-hmm. Like I think of DVDs, that is the first thing that pops into my mind. Cardboard snap over case, Ghost Dog, a film by Jim Jarmusch.
Good pick. Wild choice. I love it.
I guess my DVD to take to heaven would be, when I think of DVDs that I own or have owned, the first Kelvin Star Trek movie.
Oh, nice.
The good one.
Either that or the third one. Beyond is amazing. Seen Beyond, Gox?
Yeah, Beyond's amazing. I'm like, big, don't.
Or maybe I try to get the trilogy in a pack.
There you go.
And take that. I could skip the middle one and just watch the first one.
Is fun.
Skip two,
I want to amend my choice. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm going to switch mine to the canon documentary, the fucking...
That's a good one.
Electric Boogaloo? I can't remember what it's called. Electric Boogaloo, which TJ did get me on DVD, so...
Yeah, that's gonna be mine. One. That's a fun documentary. Mine is Ghost World. That's a movie I always think of on DVD because I bought it on DVD. I still have my DVD. We reviewed it on the show, but it continues to be one of my favorite movies. Like, I love that movie. I can watch that movie over and over and over again. I was going to say the first Matrix movie because Sean made me think about like movies you think of on DVD. And that first Matrix is something I always think about when DVDs were like a thing. Like I have a very troubled history with the Matrix sequels, but I still love the original Matrix a lot. Like, I think
do you remember the abject horror of bringing home a DVD and realizing it was in full screen ratio and not widescreen?
I bought the Indiana Jones trilogy. I had
a Phantom Menace,
not Letterboxd,
in full screen, and I had to return it because I didn't realize that it was in full screen. I was like, ew.
And just arguing with your dad, it's like, well, it doesn't even take up the whole fucking TV. I'm like, you're missing the point.
Oh, I couldn't even return my Indiana Jones. I put it into the thing, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I returned my Phantom Menace on DVD.
I did love when they would do one ratio on one side and the other on the other side, because the one side would be pristine, and then the full screen side would be all fucked up and scratched because I didn't give a shit.
All right, most anticipated movie for 2025, Sean.
Mine's going to be a movie called Mickey 17, starring
Robert Pattinson. That's also mine. Yeah, it's also mine. That's the next Bong Joon-ho movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like kind of like a funnier version of Moon, I guess, kind of. So I'm into it. Bong Joon-ho rules. Robert Pattinson turned out to be a really good actor. So, yeah, I'll take that.
You want
to
talk about a director that has never missed. Bong Joon-ho is fucking killer. That guy is great.
It would be Spider-Verse Part 3, but when that comes out in 2036.
What's that?
It would be Spider-Verse 3, but that's not going to come out until 2036. So
If
Shamar Moore doesn't get arrested for being a weirdo,
what a fucking weirdo!
Wait, what did he do?
His fall off needs to be studied.
The voice actor that plays Miles Morales,
I know his
like
name.
He's like super creepy around what's her name, Haley Steinfeld. And he tweeted about her when she got married to Josh Allen, and then after that he posted a picture of him. I guess he's in the first Spider-Man movie. Like, you remember the scene where, what was the girl's name? The girl that Peter Parker wanted at first.
Liz Allen.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's in a scene with her, and he's like, more to come. And she's like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm engaged, dude. Take that post down. Like, he's just such a fucking weirdo. Like, it's very depressing. I'm going to pick a different most excited just because Sean already took mine. So I'll go 28 years later. I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I'm it's on my it was in my top five of things I'm excited about next year.
That teaser slaps with whatever
it
that
looks so audio, good.
That audio track they have playing over it.
That weird countdown. It's like a countdown. It's fucking weird. But I mean, you know, it looks good. And like, I'm usually against like these old ass, you know, movies getting these 20 year sequels, but like, it kind of works with the premise. Like, I'm interested to see what they do, you know, and you get Danny Boyle back and you get, what's his name back. And it's like, it could be good. Like, I think it could be good. And Aaron Taylor Johnson's a guy I used to hate, but he's kind of grown on me lately. So
when he's good, he's very good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure when his wife dies of old age, he'll get even more.
Oh, no, they broke up. He's not with her anymore. Shocker. That's not probably even. Why I like him now. But Alec, I mean,
we live in weird times.
We do.
Before December 19th, unequivocally, I would have said Fantastic Four. I'm so excited for that movie.
I forgot that's this year.
Also, I'm excited for Thunderbolt and that Wolfman movie. Because the Wolfman movie is directed by the same guy who did The Invisible Man, and that movie was awesome.
And the same guy that made Upgrade.
Oh.
Upgrade?
Lee Winnell,
yeah, same guy.
So up until a few weeks ago, I would have said any one of those. But I live in a world now where I've seen the Superman trailer.
Yeah, that almost was mine too. Yeah.
I can't stop watching that trailer. I watch it like at least once a day. It's so good.
Dude,
if that movie is bad, like I might just stop watching movies with how good it looks.
Dude,
knowing James Gunn's making it, like if it's not good, like I'm just done with movies like forever. I'll just watch TV and exercise or something.
You don't want to do that.
Perish the thought.
Yeah.
But goddamn, I can't get over that trailer.
It looks so good. It looks so fucking good. Like, and it's everything I wanted from a Superman movie too already.
There's already weird controversy around it where it's like there's test screenings and they're bad and people are like, oh, we didn't even test screen this movie yet. So I don't know. There's this weird fucking narrative around it already.
Well, the Snyder heads.
That's all it is. It's the weird like Snyder incels on the internet. They're just like, oh, it's not Snyder. Yeah. It's like, who cares? I've seen
people like, he didn't smile once in the whole trailer. Like, it's a 2-minute trailer of probably a 2.5-hour movie.
But the first thing you see is him saving a kid, which I don't think Superman in any of the Zack Snyder movies did.
Well, yeah, but then like the Snyder incels are like, oh, so well, they're praying to him in the Snyder movies, praying to Superman. That's a problem. This kid's begging for his help, and that's cool. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not praying to him. He's asking him to help him from a disaster or whatever's happening.
The Snyder Bros, that thing is so weird because his movies are so bad. Like, I just don't
understand. They should have never gave him that fucking director's cut. They should have never let him have it. Now they're going to be like this forever.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
TJ, what's the Dragon Ball reference about him in the crater? Like, I've seen that image in 10 billion.
It's the Yamcha meme. Yeah. Yamcha.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a character in Dragon Ball who is like super weak and he always gets his ass beat. And when he's in the crater, he's in the Yamcha pose. Like Yamcha got his ass kicked and that's what people are memeing. Like I'm sure James Gunn did that on purpose. So, Gogs, you didn't go yet, right?
No, I've not gone yet. I'm excited about Thunderbolts. I'm excited about Captain America. But what I'm most excited about is the next Kahi Kwan vehicle, Love Hurts, with him and Marshawn Lynch. I think that movie's going to rule. I am a Kahi Kwan stan. I want his career to continue to just blossom. I just Everything Everywhere All at Once was my favorite movie, I think, 2 years back.
You know, Dogs, you know what I'm mad about? Everybody loved Everything Everywhere All at Once with Kahi Kwan, where he's doing the Wong Har Kwai thing, but we watched fucking 2046 and nobody liked it. So like,
I want somebody to resolve. Not nobody.
Well, obviously you liked it, but like, yeah. I want somebody to resolve that cognitive dissonance. Like,
hold on. I will go to my score on 2046 and see what I said, but I don't think I hated it.
I don't think he liked it.
I gave it a 4.
You only liked David Bautista's tiny glasses.
Yeah. But I'm very, very, very excited about Love Hurts. I hope it doesn't disappoint me. because then it'll end up on my list next year.
I still think he has like such a great story. Like, everybody's just rooting for him. I'm just glad he's got a career again. It's so cool. I mean, we went all through this when we did Everywhere, Everything, Everywhere All at Once. But like, what a cool story. What a cool guy.
Yep. Is that everybody's anticipated for 25?
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
Wow, we did this an hour and a half. This was.
There have been times this show has taken over 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, we pared down. Remember, we used to do top fives.
Yeah.
And we used to do Snake, which takes longer.
And the ill-fated night of Star Wars the Punisher / the Mole / Star Wars, which is like, I want to say like 5 hours long.
Yeah, didn't we do it right after we left fucking Last Jedi or something?
No, we watched the Punisher movie, the Dolph Lundgren Punisher movie, and did the Mollies and reviewed Star Wars and Punisher, I thought.
Yeah, that was a long one.
Yeah, because we recorded 2 episodes in one night, which is absurd.
Yeah, what were we thinking?
Well, this put it on Twitch, hour and a half, any percentage complete. We did it, speed run, Mollies complete.
Yeah, good year for the show and movies in general. Like I said, I mean, I feel like I could have done a top 10 for the stuff we watched on the show. That we watched a lot of good stuff and a lot of shit, but like a lot, our highs were very high this year.
Yeah, I got like I color code my Excel spreadsheet where I keep all my scores, and I had 10 tens this year. Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Now, before
and only 2 zeros.
Before we wrap up, since Alex here, Alec, can you explain to me and the audience what the new format of the show moving forward? What we're going to do? So we're getting out of the themes. We're not doing our theme months anymore.
I'll explain it to our fan.
Yeah, explain it to Anthony and Brent
and Nate. We have 3.
And Matt.
And Nate. And Matt. Yeah. All those guys are like, hey, that's me.
Name all our fans.
Yeah. The six of them should have dinner together and call it a convention. Like,
I know TJ's familiar with this. The Patreon. I'm going to read off the Patreon people at the end of the video.
Hey, according to our Spotify numbers, like we get 100 new listeners every week. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah, we got like 1,100 subscribers on YouTube somehow.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's pretty good.
That's crazy.
That's pretty good. If we hit a certain plateau on Spotify, we can start running ads. Can you imagine?
Look out, Dick Pills.
We'll get Gogs to fucking cut ads for BetterHelp and ExpressVPN. Sean,
I can do Honey because that's a money handle now.
Casper mattresses.
What's the food delivery one?
Factor is one of them. Hello Fresh.
Who's the guy that banged Kim Kardashian that now has earbuds?
Raycons. Poly Market.
Yeah. Anyway, the new format.
So basically, we're going to start with a movie next week, and then we have to pivot either by director or an actor from that movie to get the next movie.
I like it.
And we're just going to either draw names from a hat or just pick a person at the beginning of the show every week to pick the next movie.
It reminds me of a game that Anthony and I used to play in high school where we were bored, where we would just name an actor. And then you'd have to connect that actor to either a movie or a director, and then you just keep going. It's like the same basic idea.
Yeah, we're just six degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
but hopefully we'll never run out of Kevin Bacon.
Oh, how can we run out
of 4 degrees?
52 degrees.
I mean, it's literally endless because you can just
It's going to happen is like we're going to go from like Saving Private Ryan to like, I don't know, Boiler Room. To some French movie nobody's ever heard of, and then we're gonna get stuck trying to dig our way back into like regular movies.
Now, I do have a procedural type question because I was gonna ask if we need to do Craven, but we've only done one of the we did Morbius
and Madam Web.
We didn't do Venom. We didn't do any of Venom.
We've talked about the Venom movies a lot.
We've never reviewed Venom. So
let
me back up. There is a movie that we need to watch, so we'll need to fit it in. Maybe we can fit it in the new format. But Kevin Smith has a new movie out That's on the plaque.
I'm sure there'll be a fuckload of cameos that
yeah.
we'll be able to tie in somewhere.
And we'll somebody has to burn their pick and like connect it somehow.
Okay, fair enough.
Can we reset on a zero? Can we do something like that? Like we hit the bottom, we reset, or do we even hang out?
Like we run out of Yachi
Maru.
Yeah.
I'm sure we won't run out of actors. So what movie are we doing? Are we doing Saving Private Ryan? I know we talked about it.
Yeah, I think that's a good jumping off point because there's a lot.
It's a lot of actors.
Hell of a coaching tree from Saving Private Ryan, as they would say.
Oh, who's going to pick the movie after that? Or you got to do the hat thing afterwards?
Or you either do the hat thing or just like it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, I go second then?
Sure.
I'm going to go Saving Private Ryan, Tom Sizemore. Tom Sizemore is also in Bringing Out the Dead with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, that's a good one.
We'll find another way to get to Fast and the Furious, but I'll make it happen.
Oh, it's not going to be hard. All right, so cool. So next week's movie is Saving Private Ryan. For you guys on the show, I already put that on the Plex, and I already watched it because I thought we were going to do that this week. So then after that, it sounds like we already know where we're doing. So Bringing Out the Dead, that's going to be an interesting one to revisit. I'm excited about the new format. I got to be honest. It was a little tough. We were getting kind of at our limit on themes. I mean, we had a good run. We had a good fucking run on themes. But
rest in power, Sylvester Stallangiuary.
But anyway. All right, everybody. Bye, that's boys. The show. Go watch some movies. There's a bunch of good movies this year and a bunch of bad movies, but go watch some fucking movies.
Later, boys.
Or don't.
Go to AMC like Nicole Kidman told you to, and go watch movies where cinemas become dream or whatever the fuck.
Oh, I love movies, love.
Oh, boy.
Watch some films and eat some popcorn.
Watch my new movie. It's so dark and twisted.
It's so dark. Oh, yeah. It's called like Baby Girl or something. She gets like fingered in a Denny's in that movie or something.
Hell yeah.
I mean, who has it? But all right, everybody. That's the show. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Later, everybody.
See you guys.